From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Ukraine's acting president has called for the anti-terror operation against pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine to resume. He spoke after a member of his political party was murdered in an eastern city. Now, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is quoted as saying, if Russian interests are threatened and its territory comes under attack, Russia would retaliate. Lavrov spoke in an interview to air later today. The BBC's Tom Esselmont has more from Moscow.
In comments printed on the Russia Today website, Mr. Lavrov said that if the interests of Russians were threatened in Ukraine, then Moscow would have no option but to respond. He said this had been the case in the region of South Ossetia in 2008. There, when Russian forces were sent in to repel Georgian troops, a five-day war broke out. The Russian foreign minister also pointed the finger at the United States, linking the decision by the Ukrainian acting president to relaunch military operations in the east to the visit by the American vice president, Joe Biden. Mr. Lavrov said that this was a sign that Americans are the ones running the show.
The BBC's Tom Esselmont reporting. A military judge has ordered prosecutors to provide details about the handling of a Guantanamo Bay suspect during his time in the CIA's secret prisons. NPR's Tom Bowman reports the decision was a victory for lawyers representing the man accused of planning the October 2000 bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen.
The defendant, Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, was born in Saudi Arabia, and he's been held at the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay for the past 8 years. Before then, he was held in a series of secret CIA prisons. Al-Nashiri was a senior al-Qaeda member who was waterboarded and threatened with a gun and power drill. That's because interrogators believed he was withholding information about possible attacks against the United States. Prosecutors have argued the information is irrelevant, and they can appeal Colonel James Pohl's ruling. Defense lawyers say the case, set for trial in December, is tainted by the CIA action, and that could spare al-Nashiri from the death penalty. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.
Violence broke out overnight in Rio de Janeiro after a popular local resident was killed in a city slum. Angry residents blamed Brazilian police for the death and set off homemade explosives and fires. Rio police responded with gunfire. There were reports of gunfire exchanges close to an Olympic event venue. Police have been trying to force out gangs from parts of Rio ahead of the World Cup soccer tournament this June, and then the 2016 Olympic Games. President Barack Obama has arrived in Tokyo on the first leg of his four-country tour of Asia. Today, he will attend an official state dinner with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and attend official talks tomorrow. He'll visit three other countries later this week. This is NPR. South Korean officials have increased the death toll from the ferry disaster to 150 people. But about 150 passengers still remain missing. Divers are swimming through dark, chilly water, searching for bodies, mainly teenagers. They must navigate cabins, corridors, and decks of the ferry, all of them overturned after the ship capsized last week. A new study suggests hospitals can decrease deaths and disability among stroke patients by fast-tracking their treatment. NPR's Patty Naiman looks at the findings published in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Researchers from UCLA designed strategies to quickly identify stroke patients who could benefit from a clot-busting drug called TPA, or tissue plasminogen activator. The medication is administered intravenously and works by dissolving the clot, which restores normal blood flow to the brain. But until recently, only about a third of eligible patients were getting it. In the study, more than 1,000 hospitals nationwide put the fast-track program in place with strategies like having EMS workers alert the hospital ER that a stroke patient was on the way, as well as storing TPA in the ER itself instead of the pharmacy. These changes helped hospitals reduce the time it took from when patients arrived in the ER to when they received the medication by 15 crucial minutes. Patty Naiman, NPR News.
A government inspector reports the IRS paid $1 million in bonuses to workers who also owed back taxes. Another 1,700 workers who were disciplined for misconduct also got bonuses. The IRS report says the bonuses comply with federal rules but conflict with the agency's mission to enforce tax laws. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.